Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Yud, and we are at the very last line on daf Tes Amid Beis Hahushtara Dahava Ksiv Be. So yesterday's daf dealt very much with math. We are not going to recap yesterday's daf, and we are going to jump right into today's daf. Zok the Hilge Gemara. Ahu shtar, there was a shtar, Daviksiv be shis shnin iserta. So there was a shtar, it was a shtar milva, Rashi says, and the shtar was post-dated by 6 years. Now the halacha is, if you have a shtar and the shtar is predated, then the shtar is possible. So for example, if Reuven lends Shimon money on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Tovshin Pei Hei, but the loan is dated Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Tovshin Pei, the halacha is, the shtar is going to be posel. If, however, a shtar is post-dated, it's a shtar me'ocher, so the loan took place Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Tovshin Pei Hei, but it's dated Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Tovshin Tzadi, then the halacha is, it's going to be kosher. Stating that, there was a shtar milva, it was post-dated by 6 years. So Rabban Kameh de Rav Lameimar, now the Rabban that had seen the shtar were of the impression that hay shtar me'ochero, that it looks like it's a shtar me'ocher, right? I mean, for sure, it's dated 6 years later than what it's currently now. So as a result, we should treat it like a shtar me'ocher. Now, a shtar me'ocher, we said, is kosher. Stating that, the halacha is that in the event that the malva is going to want to be goyva from the lekuchos of the loiva using his shtar, he'll only be able to be goyva from people that bought from the date of the shtar. So that ordinarily, if somebody lends somebody money, milva b'shtar, one of the benefits, one of the perks of having the loan recorded in the shtar is that the malva could be goyva not only from the loiva, but also from any property that the loiva owned at the time that the loan took place, being that it's meshubed, even if right now he had sold it to somebody, gave it away, b'matana, from the proverbial lekuchos. Stating that the only time you could be goyva from the lekuchos is if that person purchased the item past the date that's written in the original law. Being that this shtar was a shtar me'ocher, so the assumption was that the shtar is going to be kosher, because that's the halacha, a shtar me'ocher is kosher, but the halacha also is that if you want to be toyer from the lekuchos, you'd only be able to be toyer from someone that bought it from that date me'ocher and on. In other words, the Rabbanon felt na'akvei adamatiyah zman. We're going to leave this shtar until that zman comes for leitarif, and you won't be able to tarif until that time. Now again, not that the malva can't be tarif from the loiv until that time. That depends on the terms and conditions of the loan. But what it means is that if the malva is going to want to be tarif from the lekuchos of the loiva, he'd only be doing it from that point forward. Rav Nachman was there, and he said, I disagree. I don't think that's what's going on over here. Rather, my opinion is, Hai safra dukna kasfe. I believe that the sofer that wrote the shtar is a safra dukna. He's very medaktik. What's he medaktik? So Rashi says, he's medaktik in the cheshboinus. V'hanuch shis shnin, the machlu be'elon. And it's those 6 years that the Yevonim ruled over Elon, da'anan le'chashvin lehu, that we don't reckon with when we count our minion shtaris, who kachashavle, he does, ubizmana kosve, and really this shtar is not a shtar me'ocher, it's a regular shtar. And what's the premise to this? 6 years, the Tanya Tzabrites, Rabbi Yosef said, sheishonim ocha be'elam, that the Greeks, before they had world dominance, first they ruled over Elam for 6 years, and it was only afterwards that their malchus spread over the entire world. The point is, there's this 6 year potential discrepancy that maybe this sofer has in his cheshbonos versus what everybody else has. As a result, said Rav Nachman, I don't believe that this shtar is a shtar me'ocher. So let's take a step back now and just explain this a little bit better. One of the things that we saw in the cheshbonos of yesterday's daf was that when the sofer used to write shtaris and they would date the shtar, so as it relates to minyan hashanim, they would work with the time that the Greeks began their malchus. The Gemara said it was 34 years into the Zman of Bayis Sheni. They ruled for 180 years, all the Cheshbonos. But the point is that it was from the onset of the malchus of the Yevanim that the Sofrei Yisrael used to date their shtaris. That's number one. Another thing we saw in yesterday's daf, and we promise we get more into it in today's daf, which is what we're doing right now, was that although the Seferim used to date their shtaris based on the Greek dynasty, but they didn't start from year one, but they delayed it for 6 years. The rest of the story is the brisa that the Gemara just stated. So they didn't cheshbon it from when the Yevanim started ruling merely in Elam. They waited 6 years. Once it was Pashta Malchusam B'chal Olam Kuloi, it was then that they began to work with their number. So that really, it's not that the Sofrim are counting from Tchilas Malchus Yavam, but rather they're counting from 6 years in. Another thing that we saw in yesterday's daf is that if you wanted to figure out when that was relative to Churban Bayis Sheni, it was 380 years before the Churban. So Yidden always knew how many years it was from Churban Bayis Sheni. We'll see a little bit more about that in the raid. But not necessarily did the Sofer know when exactly Malchus Yavam started, or more precisely, when it's 6 years into the reign of the Yevanim. But the cheat sheet tells you that it would be 380 years prior. And the cheshbon is because the Yevanim began their reign 34 years into Bayis Sheni, the first 34 years. The Yidden were under the Memshala of Paros Umadai. But 34 years into Bayis Sheni, that's when the Greeks began doing their thing. We start counting 6 years in. So really, Le'in Yonenu, or Le'mispareinu, it's 40 years in. Bayis Sheni stood for 420 years. Back of the envelope arithmetic, 420 minus 40 yields a number of 380, and that's the cheshbon. So the Sofrim, whenever they would come up with their number, they always knew it was going to be 380 years prior. Either way, Ma'aseh Shaya Kachaya, Shtar walks in to the Beis Din of Rav Nachman, and it's post-dated by 6 years, and all the chevrah felt, Sover Rabban and Kamed Rav Nachman Lameimar, Hay Shtar Mocharu, L'may Nafkimina, it's not possible, Shtar Mochar is kosher, but at the same time, Na'akvi Adamat Yizman, if the Malv is going to want to be Tarif from the Lekuchas, he's going to have to wait 6 years. So Rav Nachman looked at the chevrah, and he said, let's be honest, a shtar me'ocher is a big daichik. It's always a daichik. Shtar me'ocher, why is it a daichik? Because why would the malva agree to a shtar me'ocher? It presupposes a huge mechila from the standpoint of the malva. Malva lends somebody money, he wants to make sure he's going to be able to get his loan. I'll be meichel any lekuches over the next 6 years, the guy will liquidate all his assets, everything's going to be on his wife's name, and the guy will never be able to collect $1. So it's a big doichik that a person would ever do this. Narvas, a shtar mocher is a shtar mocher. What are you supposed to do? If it's post-dated, it's post-dated. But if there's any eights in the world that you can come up with to rationalize the shtar and not be forced into saying that it's a shtar mocher, that's always going to be the preference. Said Rav Nachman, I have an eitzah. I think this sofer is a sofer dukna. And I think he was very medactic. He knew you're supposed to cheshbin from the onset of the Greek dynasty. And in his mind, he's not tracing it back to when it was Pashta Malchusam B'chala Olam Kuloi. He's going to the real onset. And if that's the case, really the cheshbon starts not 380 years before Churban Bayis Sheni Zok Rashi, it's 386 years before Churban Bayis Sheni. And I don't think the shtar is post-dated by 6 years. I think the loan took place now, for sure, and I think it's dated today. He's just working off a different calendar. He has a calendar which the mispar began 6 years prior to the way it began for everybody else. And Rav Nachman was so confident with this psak, he said, I'm paskining halacha l'maisa, that you could be moitzi moment, you could be tired from the lukuches with this, literally this second. Either way, so it's a little bit of math, with understanding a little bit of the lumpness of lukuches, and also appreciating the fact that a shtam ucher is a big, big, big doichik. So listen, if you have no choice and you have to operate with a shtam ucher, then that's what you're going to do, but otherwise not. Now, one thing we're taking for granted here in this first piece of Gemara on Daf Yud, which again, we saw very much in yesterday's Daf as well, and that is that the Sofrim, when they used to count, they always counted based on the Minyan HaMelachim of the Yevanim, and not just that, 6 years in. Now, just to appreciate one thing, very balabatish geret. How did Chazal know that? How did Chazal know that's what they did? Because they looked at the shtaris, right? If you write a check today, you write Limispurim, unfortunately. But this is what we write. We write that today is June whatever, 2025. They saw the shtaris, they saw the documents. And because they saw the documents, they understood exactly what they were doing. In fact, when they saw the documents, they chap that year one was 380 years prior to Churban Bayis Sheni. Right? They know when Bayis Sheni is. I mean, they know all the math. You see, Chazal gave it to us. But the point is, they knew it was 380 years prior to Bayis Sheni. What's 380 years prior to Bayis Sheni? It's such a funny number to work with. Right? 380 is not a Jewish number. 180 years, right? 360 years. What's 380? The whole number really has no Havana. So they said, oh, you know what it must be? It must be dating back to the Greeks, but not year one, really 6 years in. And it's based on what Rabbi Yossi said, and that is Sheish Shana Mochu Be'elam V'achakach Pashal Malchusim V'chal Olam Kulay. Right? That's sort of how Chazal knew that this is the way it was. But the Gemara now is going to suggest that maybe that's really not what the Seifrim were counting for. Maybe the methodology was really something else. Says the Gemara, Maska for Rav Acher bar Yaakov. Rav Acher bar Yaakov asked the Kasha, Mimaydel Malchus Yivanim Maninon. How do you know that when the Seifrim were counting, they were counting from the Malchus Yivanim? And again, why would we think that they were counting from the Malchus Yivanim? Because we know it's 380 years prior to the Churban. Faith the Gemara, Agishmaka Kasha, Dilmoli Yitzias Mitzrayim Maninon. Maybe they were really counting from Yitzias Mitzrayim. They were counting in Tzitzis Mitzrayim, okay. The Shavki the Alpha Kama, the Nakta Alpha Basra. And they're not counting the thousands of years, so they're dropping the thousand. And instead of working with the Alpha Kama, they're working with the Alpha Basra. Says the Gemara, and if that's the case, here's the punchline, the Haimo Ocheru, then this Shtar really should be a Shtar Mo Ocher. So what's the Gemara's Kasha? The Gemara's Kasha is, Yitzias Mitzrayim was exactly 1,380 years before Churban Bayis Sheni. Meaning, 380 years prior to Bayis Sheni was 6 years into Malchus Yavam, the significance of which was, at that point, it was Pashta Malchusim V'chal Olam Kulay. If you go back 1,000 years in history, exactly 1,000 years, it's a very, very significant milestone. And that is the milestone of Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's the Cheshbon? So the Cheshbon is as follows. The Yidden left Mitzrayim. Okay. They were in the Midbar for 40 years. 440 years after they entered Eretz Yisrael, Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. So from the time that the Yidden left Mitzrayim until Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, it was exactly 480 years. The first Beis HaMikdash stood for 410 years, which means that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 890 years from when the Yidden left Mitzrayim. It remained Chorei for 70 years, the 70 years of Galus Babel. That takes us to the year 960. It's 960 years from when the Yidden left Mitzrayim that the second Beis HaMikdash was built. For the first 34 years, Paros Umadai ruled. The next 6 years, the Yavanim ruled in Elam. And it was then, 40 years into Bayis Sheni, as we've been saying, that it was Pashto Malchusan B'chal Olam Kulay. Which means that if you want to know when it was Pashto Malchusan B'chal Olam Kulay for the Greeks, from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's 40 plus 440 plus 410 plus 70 plus 34 plus 6, which is exactly 1,000. So Tainid, Rav Acher bar Yaakov, Rav Nachman, I think maybe we're making a big mistake. Because again, let's be honest, it's a little weird that we're counting shtaris 6 years into the rule of the Greeks. I have a much better eight. So I think that maybe what we're counting to is Yitzias Mitzrayim. And by the way, if we're counting for Yitzias Mitzrayim, the number is always going to be the same. It's going to be 380 years prior to Churban Bayis Sheni. But you can say, no, it's not. It's 1,380 years. Exactly. Says Rav Acher bar Yaakov. But it could be, maybe when we're doing our math, Shafkina la alfa kama, v'nakte alfa basa. We're not cheshbening the thousands. Why do you have to write the thousands for? Right, if somebody asks you, what year is it today? What are you going to tell them? Tovshin peye. La elef ashishi. I hear. It's Tovshin peye. That's what the year is. You could drop the thousand. You don't need that thousand number. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is meaning, who cares? Okay, fine. It's a historical fact, right? It is a huge nafkamina, because Rav Nachman was tining that the cheshbon of 380 years was based on Yavan. If it's based on Yavan, then there's two numbers. Because then you could say that if you have a shtar that's off by 6 years, it's not really a shtar me'ocher, which is always a big doichek. Instead, you could say, hay safra dukno. If, however, you're counting to Yitzias Mitzrayim, so then you have no choice. There's no leverage of 6 years that you can play with. And if that's the case, the shtar would have no choice but to be a shtar mocher. So Maskev or Rav Acher by Yaakov, he's asking him a kasha on the halacha. This is not a history kasha. This is a halacha kasha. Rav Nachman paskin the halacha l'maisa that I don't want to say the shtar is a shtar mocher. I think we're just off by 6 years. That's all presupposing that the 380 years is 6 years into Yavan. Which until this psak of Rav Nachman, everyone said, if that's what it is, that's what it is. No. But Rav Acher by Yaakov told Rav Nachman that I was always a little insecure. I always had a havamina ben benoy shel havamina that maybe it's really not 380 years, it's 1,380 years. What happened 1,380 years? Yitzias Mitzrayim, which makes a lot of sense that we should be counting from Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's 1,000 nu shavki la alfa kam of an okde alfa basra. Just like today's Tovshin Pehei and Lavdavka, you have to say which elef fits in. But if that's the case, then you don't have the 6 years of wiggle room, and for sure this shtar would have to be a shtar meruch. Amar Rav Nachman, Nachman Rav Dekash, and he told him, that's not what it is. I hear what you say. Abba begoyle, ain't mine, and elu, malchi yivon avadad. I know what the 380 years is. Meaning, you're not sure, but I am sure. Now, the Gemara says, when Rav Acher by Yaakov heard this, sovereign the chuyika matchele, he actually thought that Rav Nachman was just backing up his psak a little bit. He was being doichim, nafak, he went out, dok, he was ma'ayin, va'ashkach, and he found an often a braisa. The time we learned in a braisa, ba'goyle in moinen, elo lemalche yevonim bovat. This is the way it was in Golos. It's not, maybe we think this might be what it is, but really there's another tzad. And if the cat's the case, when you have a sofik mamun, maybe zek klal gold, but then I'm going to make a very old right. No, knew exactly this is the way it is. I'm Ravina. Ravina said, Masnisa nami deka. I actually have a raya from Mishnayis. Where's this Mishnah? It's a Mishnah in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. In fact, it is the very first Mishnah in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. The Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, Be'echad ben Nisan, Rosh Hashanah, Le'melachim, Uleregalim. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for the Malachim, we'll see what that means, Uluragolin, and for the Yomim Tovim. Now, the fact that Echa ben Nisan is Rosh Hashanah Uluragolin, that's something that we know. HaChidesh Hazel Lachem, Rosh Chadashim, Rishayin Hu Lachem L'Chad Sheyashan. So everyone knows that in terms of Minyan HaChadashim, regarding the Yomim Tovim, right, the Torah says this Yontiv is B'Chidesh Hadis, and that Yontiv is B'Chidesh Hadad, Echad ben Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Ragalim. But what does it mean that Echad ben Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim, says the Gemara, V'Amrinon, L'Malachim, L'May Hilchazo. What does it mean that Echad ben Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim? Amar Rav Chizah said L'Shtaris, that where it's Negeya is Shtaris. What does that mean? It means that in the event that a Sofer is writing a Shtar, and the Cheshbin of the years is based on the kings, it's based on the reign of the current king. So the question is, how do you know when the year changes? Now, Pasha, you would think, if the inauguration of the king was on January 20, whatever, okay, so then every year, January 20, whatever, that's going to be the next year. But Chazal didn't want it to be that way, because every king is going to have his own cheshbin, and as a result, it's going to be way too messy. So what Chazal said was, Echad ben Nisan is always Rosh Hashanah, which means if somebody became melech on Tezayin Adar, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is automatically going to be year two. And if somebody became melech on Beis Nisan, it's going to take a full year until you have year two. This is the way Rav Chizda explained the Mishnah that says, Be'echad ben Nisan is Rosh Hashanah l'melach. Now, Gemara says, V'tanan, and we also learned in a Mishnah, Be'echad b'tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'shanah m'lushmit. So again, the first Mishnah is Be'echad b'nisan Rosh Hashanah l'malach. The Mishnah also says, Be'echad b'tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'shanah m'lushmit. What does it mean that Echad b'tishrei is Rosh Hashanah l'shanah? Amar Rav Chizda said, l'shtaris, it's negei l'shtaris. See what's going on here? Rav Chizda explains two lines that are sasum in this Mishnah. One is Echad ben Nisan Rosh Hashanah l'malachim, and the other one is Echad b'tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'sham. Echad ben Nisan Rosh Hashanah l'malachim, says Rav Chizda, is shtaris. Echad b'tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'sham, what does that mean? Says Rav Chizda, it's shtaris. Kach shtaris adadi. So what is the Rosh Hashanah l'shtaris? Is it Echad ben Nisan or is it Echad b'tishrei? Umashninon, and the Gemara answered, Kan l'malchi Yisrael, Kan l'malchi Oivdei Kechavim. It's not a steer. It depends on whether or not this minion is to a Melech Yisrael, or is it to one of the Melachim of the Ovdei Kechavim, the Malchi Ovdei Kechavim, as it relates to Malchi Ovdei Kechavim in Tishrei Maninah. Then we count from Tishrei. The Malchi Yisrael, if however we're counting Malchi Yisrael, then it's going to end up being Nisan. So Echab ben Nisan Rosh Hashanah l'Melachim, that's Malchi Yisrael. Echab ben Tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'Shanim, that's referring to Malchi Oivdei Koichan. Now, what's the punchline of the Deikonam? Again, this is all Ravina talking. He says, I'm going to prove that when we count 380 years prior to Churban Bayesheni, we're not counting to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not 1,380 years. We're counting to 6 years into the reign of the Yevanim. It's literally 380 years. Why? Because Vanan Hashta Mitishim Aninan. Because we know all the Seifrim know that when we count to Tishrei. Now, the Esau Kedai Techli Yetzias Mitzrayim Aninan, and if the count was Yetzias Mitzrayim, Min Nisan Be'ina Lemimni, why would we be counting from Tishrei? It would make no sense. For sure we would count the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Meaning we know there were these two New Years. There was the Echad B'Nisan New Year and there was the Be'echad B'Tishrei New Year. We work with Echad B'Tishrei. We also know Malchei Yisrael was Nisan. Malchei Oivdei Kechavim was Tishrei. What are the two choices we have in front of us? We have one choice is the Yevanim. That's Malchei Umar Sa'olam, right? Malchei Oivdei Kechavim. We also have Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is none of the above. But the point is that if it's Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zok Rashi, for sure we would count from these. It makes no sense. You get to count Yetzias Mitzrayim from Tishrei, right? That absolutely would be ridiculous. If we're counting Tishrei, oh, must be because it's Malchei Oivdei Kechavim. Oh, it must be it's the Greeks. Elav Shmamina, Le Malchei Yevanim Aninon Shmamina. Must be that's what's going on. Now Rashi speaks out clear. You have no raya from the fact that we count Echav Tishrei that it's the Greeks. It might be the Persians or the Medes, right? It might be the Babylonians. It might be the Assyrians. It might be some other nation that tried killing us at some point that doesn't exist anymore. That's all a possibility. But we have two choices in front of us. One choice is Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the other choice is the above. We narrowed it down to one of the above. From the fact that we count Tishrei, and we don't count Nisan, so you say Meres, it's Muchach, beyond a reasonable doubt, says the Gemara, that we must be counting to the Yevanim, not to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not 1,380 years prior to Churban Bayesheni, it's 380 years prior to Churban Bayesheni. Just one thing that I think is worth mentioning, just to bring out a little bit better the Gemara, and that is, so we count 380 years, that's the way the Seifrim used to cheshbon prior to Churban Bayesheni. And the Gemara said, what was the math? It's 6 years into the reign of the Yevanim. The Gemara suggested, it was Rav Acher Bar Yaakov's suggestion, maybe what we're counting to is really not Malchus Yevanim, it's Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, Poshet, the Kasha is, Mechatesi, it's the Yevanim, maybe it's Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Malchus Yevanim is 380 years prior, Yetzias Mitzrayim is 1,380 years prior. Really, it could be either one. Right? Now, truth is, we say 380, not 1,380, but that the Gemara doesn't think is such a kasha. Maybe Shofkinon the Alpha Kam, Venoktin and Alpha Basri. But the point is, that was the Gemara's kasha. Now, also, I think as Yidden, we can have a heritage that probably makes more sense to count to a milestone in our religion rather than a milestone related to the Greeks. What do we have to do with the Greeks, right? So, again, you can feel the heritage of the kasha, but I think the kasha is even more than that. And it's really based on Dvarim Yoduin from the Ramban. Again, some of these Rambans, we always speak this out, from the Chassam Sofer and the Tzava, are literally Rosh Amuna Amoy. This is one of them. With the Ramban in Parshas Boy on the Pasuk, Achidish Hazel Lochem, Rosh Chadashim, Rishon Hu Lochem, Lachachi Hashan. I'll just read one paragraph. Vitam Achidish Hazel Lochem, Rosh Chadashim, Sheyimnu Oisei Yisrael Chidish Rishon. In the Torah, there are no names to months, right? Today's Rosh Chodesh. There's no names to months. It's a Chodesh HaRishon, it's a Chodesh HaSheni, it's a Chodesh HaShlishi, a Chodesh HaRavi, right? There's no names to the months. We're counting 1, 2, 3, 4. Says the Ramban, the Oimek is that Umimenu Yimnu Chol HaChadoshim. We want that Chodesh Nisan should be the first month, and from that, we should use a reference to all the other months. Sheni, Shlishi, Atashlom, Ashana, B'Shnei, Maso, Chodesh, until you finish the month with the 12th month. Kidei Shiyah, Zezdi, Karmen, Asagata. And the purpose of it is that through counting the months, there'll be a Zikaron to the great miracle. Ki b'chol eis, Shenaskir, HaChadoshim. So that every time you mention the month, you say this is the 8th month, the 9th month, the 6th month, the 5th month. Yehanes Nisgar. The miracle will be remembered. Val Cain says the Ramban, Ein l'chadoshim shem b'tayra. That's why the months were not given a name in the Torah. Elo yoymer b'chodesh ha-shlishi. V'oymer v'ahi b'ashona ha-shenis b'chodesh ha-sheni na'lo anon. U'b'chodesh ha-shvi b'echol l'chodesh v'goymer v'chein kulon. U'kemoy sheti ha-skir b'yayim Shabbos. And just like says the Ramban, that We remember Shabbos b'mnoisenu mimenu echad b'Shabbos v'sheni b'Shabbos kasher afarish. Like I'm going to explain in Parshas Yisrael, right? That's where he talks about this. Right? It doesn't say in the Torah Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It says the first day, the second day, the third day. Why? Because when you say day one, day two, what is the reference point? It's relation to Shabbos. Kein aschir b'tzias Mitzrayim b'mnoisenu achodesh harishon v'achodesh hasheni v'ashlishi l'geulasenu she'ena minyan l'shana. Says the Ramban, I'll explain to you even better. Why is Nisan the first month? It's the beginning of the year. It's not true. Really, the year begins with Tishrei. That's all Tishrei time. What's the explanation? And Shvi means Shvi Eleha. V'zetam says the Ramban, Rishon hu lochem. She'inenu Rishon bashano. Aval hu Rishon lochem. She'nikra loy lezichroin ge'ula seinu. The Ramban goes on and he says, that's why when the Yidden left Bavel, they took with them the names of the months. Chazal, it's a Yerushalmi, says, Shmois chadoshim olu imonu mi Bavel. And it's based on the idea of the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that Yirmiyahu prophesied and he said that when the Yidden are oskalized from Bavel, lo yeyomer oit chay Hashem, asha hel es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Ki im chay Hashem, asha hel av asha evi es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Safoy. And that's why we needed a new reference point. So we can't say 1, 2, 3, 4 anymore to Yitzias Mitzrayim, because now there's this new avodah, and that is chay Hashem, asha hel av asha evi es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Safoy. And the way we do that is by remembering all the shnois of Bavel, because now this is going to be the new reference point. But either way, it's Mavur in the Ramban. That counting from Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah's essay de raisa almost. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Reish Chadashim. It goes to the core of remembering our Emunah. It's remembering the fact that the Eibush to perform Nisim and Aflois of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? When the Ramban really talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's in the end of Parashas Bo. And he says how so much what we do is about remembering the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maskef Lo Rav Acher Bar Yaakov. So, right? Let's revisit the Kasha. Mimai de la Malchus Yov Vanim Maninon, which is just like a little interesting. Dumbly, it's Yisrael Mitzrayim Maninon. Maybe this has a Sheikhus with the Ramban and Parshas Boy. Of Achidish Hazel Lochem, Reish Chadoshim, Rishon Hulochem, Chachi Hashana, Vidoik, it's Poshet. This is the Hatoma, just the extra little bit of flavor and time that we need in order to properly appreciate what exactly the Gemara's kach was. But at the end of the day, Rav Nachman says, it's not the way it works. Bagoyle ein moinen elo lemalchi yavonim buvat. Zok the Gemara vayter. Returning to our Mishnah. So again, the Mishnah was talking about all the Eideim shel oivdei koichavim. And the Mishnah said, what are the Eideim? Kalando, starnura kartisim, and then it said, v'yoyim genusya shel malchim. We said that in the Gemara, we're going to see what yoyim genusya is. It's the Gemara we're about to learn right now. And then the Mishnah said, also the yoyim haleda, and the Yom HaMisa, says the Gemara, my Yom Genusa Shamachem. What does this even mean? Omer Avida Rehuda said, Yom Shemamid, Ma'ev Dekechavim Es Malchum. It's the inauguration day of the king. That day was considered a Yontif, and every year on that day, this is Chagah, and the laws of our Mishnah apply. Faith the Gemara, could that be Pshad Yom Genusa, V'tani Relun to the Braisa, Yom Genusa, V'yom Shemamid, Ma'ev Malchum. The Braisa mentions, Sai Yom Genusa, and Yom Shemamid, Ma'ev Es Malchum. So this is easy back of the envelope arithmetic. That must be Yom Genusa is not Yom Shema Midim Bayez Malkum. So the Gemara says, like, catch a hadi day, the hadibre, the Yom Shema Midim Bayez Malkum, that's when the king himself, right, the current king, the one who's reigning at the moment, he became Melech. But there was also this idea that sometimes the king, during his lifetime, would appoint his successor. That day was a very happy day, that there was this big proclamation that I hereby appoint my son, Luchindit and Svansek, he should take over the whole Rebista. And when that happened, that was also a very special day. And that's what's known as the Yom Genusya. But the Gemara says, this idea is dead on arrival. You know why? Because me Malko bar Malko. Did the Romans even appoint Malko bar Malko? Now, the truth is, who said anything about the Romans? So Rashi, this is an interesting Rashi. It's actually one of the censored Rashis. If you have a nice Vahadi Gemara, they bring on the side the original Girsa in Rashi. But either way, all the Eideim shel Oiv de Kechavim that I mentioned in our sugya, says Rashi, were all Roman by nature. So by definition, if we're talking about Yom Genusya, we mean the Romans. Again, what's the kashya? Did the Romans even appoint Malkabar? Malkabar, Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, in the Braisa. The Pasuk says, Hini katan es sicha ba goyim. And this is referring to Edoim, which means Roimi. She'im moishiv melech ben melech. What does it mean that they're katan? It means that they didn't have melech ben melech. Bozoi atam oid, says that in the Pasuk as well. She'im lehem loiksav loy loshen. They didn't have their own ksav, and they didn't have their own loshen. This is where all the censorship is. They stole it from the Greeks, Latin. Not for now. But the point is, what do you see from here? We need the first part of what Rabbi Yosef said. And that is, She'ein Moshivin Melech Me'melech. So you can't tell me Yom Gnosia means the day that they were maimed the son of the Melech to be the Melech, because that never even happened. So the Gemara says, Elamai Yom Gnosia. What does Yom Gnosia mean? It means Yom Malei. That means the king's birthday. Fate the Gemara can't be, because Vatani went into the Bryce and Yom Gnosia of Yom Malei. So you see, Yom Gnosia is not Yom Malei. The Gemara says, like, Kasha Hodi Deva Hodi Bray. One is talking about his birthday, that's the Yom Aleda, and Yom Gnosia is his son's birthday. But the Gemara says, we have another brice, a lot of brices. Vatanya, Yom Gnosia Shaloi, Yom Gnosia Shalbanoi, Yom Aleda Shaloi, for Yom Aleda Shalbanoi. So we knocked everything out, right? It can't be his inauguration, it can't be his son's inauguration, it can't be his birthday, it can't be his son's birthday. So we're 0 for 4, literally. So if that's the case, what's going on over here? So the Gemara says like this, Elamai Yom Gnosia Yom Shamamida Moy Mal. It really is related to inauguration. Veloi Kasha, the brice, that said Yom Gnosio and Yom Shamid by Malcolm, because one is him and one is his son. Hadi Deva Hadebre. The Kasha, look at what was the original Kasha. Doloi Mukmi Malka Bar Malka. That the kings didn't appoint their sons as kings, right? This is one of the features of Roimi. Kotin is a tichabagoyim. She'ein Mamidin Melech Bar Melech. Al Yedei She'elo Mukmi. Although this was the general rule. But if you made a request, then already the request sometimes was met. And through special permission, it could happen. And that's where it's Negeias. In the event it was special permission, that's when you have a Yom Gnosia, and that's what's going on over here in this Mishnah. Says the Gemara, I'm going to give you an example of where there was a Roman king, or a Roman emperor, a Roman Caesar, that was granted special permission for his son to be the next Caesar, and really this Kigoin that the Gemara is going to bring right now is going to usher in a digression that's going to take us through tomorrow's daf. So who is an example of a Roman Caesar who had been granted permission for his son to take over? Kigoin Asvirus Bar Antoninus. It's Asvirus, the son of Antoninus, the Molach, who he himself was a king. So the Gemara now tells the rest of the story. So the background to what we're about to learn right now is that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the great Rebbe, the author of the Mishnah, had a very, very close friend, Antoninus. We all know this. Says the Gemara, I'm the Antoninus, the Rebbe. Antoninus once told Rebbe, Be'ino di imlech Asvirus b'ri tachusi. I want my son Asvirus to be the next king. Additionally, I also want something else. V'tesavet Tveria kalanyo. I want Tveria to be exempt from paying taxes. Rashi says, why did Antoninus want Tveria to be exempt from paying taxes? It's because Antoninus was a Meiker Rabbanon, and there were a lot of rabbis that lived in Tveria, and he wanted all these rabbis to be tax-free. This is something that he wanted. So he tells Rebbe, his good friend, and his confidant, and his advisor, he tells him, I have two request that I would like to make. Now, the problem is, if I request one, I'm going to get it. This is the way it works. I know I can't get both. So, what should I do? So, Rebbe didn't answer. However, he, Biramiza, gave him his response. I see Gavra, he brought a person, and then he brought another person. So he took one person and he put him on the shoulders of the other person. And Antoninus is looking, not really sure whither this is going. And then he told the person who's sitting on top, take a yoina, take a bird. And then Rebbe tells the person who's on the bottom, tell the person on top, to make the yoina fly away. This is your answer, says Rebbe. Omar, so Antoninus immediately figured out exactly what's going on. It's Shishma Mino, must be Hachi Kamali. This is what he's telling me. At Boy Minayu Dasfiris Briyim Lech Tachusi. What you should do is you make one request, because they're not going to give you more than one. And the one request should be that your son Asvirus is going to be the next king. The Imele Lasvirus. And then when Asvirus becomes the king, tell him that Tavit Tveria Kalanya, that he should go ahead and he should make Tveria a Kalanya. Now, what did this have to do with the Marshal? Right, this is the Nimshal. Where did you see it in the Marshal? Because you're not asking directly, you're telling someone to tell someone. The person on the bottom is not telling the yoina to fly away. He's telling the person on top to tell the yoina to fly away, which is what's going on here. Some say that it's mashma that Antoninus actually made his son the king b'chayev. And actually, the mashma would be a little bit better because Asvirus is the one who's telling the yoina to fly away. Asvirus is sitting on top. He's the metlech. He's the one that literally right now is on top of Antoninus, but either way, this was the Eitzah that he told him. Says the Gemara, on that note, Amale, Antoninus once told Rabbi, that the Chashuvim and Roimi, they're giving me a very hard time, right? So apparently politics hasn't changed that much in the last 2,000 years. He said, they're giving me a very, very hard time. So Rabbi said, let me tell you what you should do. Ma'ayale Lagina, he went with him into a garden. Again, he's not saying one word, but he brought him into a garden. Kol Yoyme, every single day, Akale Puglimi Mashri. He would take a radish and he would pluck it out of the patch where all of it was. Amar, so Antoninus. So what happened? He said, "Ah, Shmami Nahachi Kamali. This must be what's going on over here." He's telling me, "At Ketoil Chad Chad Minayu." What you should do is you should take out one person at a time, meaning slowly, slowly make these political assassinations. So all these people that are after you, you take out this person and that person, and if you do that, then you'll be successful. Don't do everyone at a shot. And Rebbe was very patient. Every day he would come, he'd pluck one radish and. Antoninus is looking at Rebbe. Rebbe is pulling out radishes. Madna Maisa, like, why is he doing it? Oh, must be the radish is the congressman or whoever it is that's giving him a hard time. And do it one at a time. Like this, you'll be able to do what it is that you want to do. Freight the Gemara in a very obvious question. Antoninus just asked Rebbe two questions, and Rebbe is mamish putting on a whole skit in order to answer the question. Why didn't he tell him Grud? Amar, so the Gemara says the reason Rebbe didn't do it that way is because he was concerned. He was worried that maybe the chashuvim of Roimi are going to find out and they're going to come after him. I mean, especially this last piece of advice, right? But the point is, this wasn't a good idea. So the Gemara said, why didn't he whisper it in his ear? Says the Gemara, because Rebbe knew the pasuk in Koheles that says, there's no secrets, and if you say it, even in the quietest way, at the end of the day, it may come back to you, and as a result, that's why Rebbe didn't want to do this. The Gemara says another story. Antoninus had a daughter, her name was Gira, Ka'av de Yisura, and she was Mezana. And Antoninus was very, very disappointed. So he sends the following message to Rebbe. Shadale Gargira. Now, Gargira is a certain type of plant. It's a certain type of vegetable, a certain type of herb. He sent this to Rebbe. He didn't want to tell Rebbe what happened. He was afraid. Again, he wanted to keep it quiet. But at the same time, he needed Rebbe to know because he wants Rebbe's advice. He's not sure how to deal with it. So the way he, Biramiza, notifies Rebbe is by sending him this Gargira. Now, where do you see in the Gargira that this happened? So Gargira, Rashi says, means Miloshen Nigrar. This was a way of Rebbe understanding that her heart strayed and she did something that she wasn't supposed to do. So again, the message is in the etymology of the word. So this herb is called the gargira. Gira is from the Shirish of gira. And Rebbe understood that. Rebbe sent back a different vegetable. What he sent back was a kuzbarta. And when Antoninus received the kuzbarta, he understood exactly what's going on over here. Because the kuzbarta in Aramaic means kois. Kois means teshach, barta, your daughter. Meaning, Rebbe said, if this is what happened, you should kill your daughter. Shadalei, say he sends back another vegetable. He sent back a karsi. What's a karsi? Leek, right? That's of Rosh Hashanah fame. Karsi is milosh and karsi. If I'm going to kill my daughter, I'm not going to have any children. Shalachlei, so he sent back, oy bazoi chasa. Meaning, he sent back lettuce. Oh, lettuce, chasa, you should have rachmanos. So they're having a conversation literally by trading salads, right? This is how this conversation is going on. But again, they didn't want to talk openly because they understood ki oifas shamayim yoylech es haka. Before we go back to just one thing that this reminded me of is that the Vilna Gaon's Einikel, Nechet HaMechaber, in the Hakdama to the Bir Hagra on Shulchan Aruch, so he talks about his Zayda, the Vilna Gaon. And one of the things that he brought out about the Vilna Gaon, I mean, where would you even start? But one of the things that he brought out about the Vilna Gaon was that he was very mekatzer b'lashonoi. Just to read one paragraph. Ki yodanu es ha'ish ve'es siach. We know the man, and we know his style of speech. Adoyni, avi, meiri, zikni, ha'goyin, ha'machav, zei, chetzat, v'kadosh, l'vrocha. Shekitzer b'dibar b'chol ha'yoysner efshari,
he was very mekatzer when he spoke,
And this was very appropriate considering how great he was. Uledover zeh hiskimu chach mehamechkar kulam. He says, all the chachamim, they're all in agreement. Ba'amram, shekol ma sheyiskada la'odam b'b'china sichloi. The more intelligent that a person is, tekatzer nafshoi b'shimush kliyat dibori. That's how little, it's zeh l'umazeh, he's going to use his koyich hadibor. V'hu maskim l'das chazal. And it's rooted in chazal. Because the Gemara says, chagiga heyom et beiz, gavra d'lo'yoda mai mach. What was the context over there? Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was debating this Siddiqui in front of the Kesar of Roimi, and the whole conversation was going on Beremisa. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya understood everything that the Siddiqui was telling him. Well, there's min, right? But the min didn't understand what Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was saying. And the Gemara says the king said, "A person who doesn't know how to speak Beremisa, Yachvi kami Malka. How could a person like that stand in front of the king?" It's to speak as little as possible. If somebody knows how to communicate through hints, that is the most impressive, that's the most prominent way of speaking. Then he goes on and he says that when you write, you should try to do it even more bekitzer. Because when people speak, they speak more flowery, right? Look at Teresh of Alpeh versus Teresh of Iksav. When you write, it's always more bekitzer. So if there's a maila to be makatzer in speech, kavachomer, when it comes to writing, and he says, that was the Zayda, the Goyen, he wrote so bekitzer, the kitzer of the Goyen is legendary, and said, neched amechaber, that this is what's going on. It's rooted on this idea of gavrid l'yoda, my machvile b'mocha, yachvi kamimalko, l'oilam yishna adam l'talmida b'derech kitzare. Here you have Rebbe, who's standing in front of the king, and how they communicating, literally, it's b'mochayk, the whole thing is b'ramiza. And by the way, zois v'oid zois, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is the author of the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, we know from the Geras of Rabbi Shirugoyin, he followed Rab Meir, who had this inyan of l'oilam yishna adam l'talmidei v'derech kitzara. This is the ultimate, it's the spitz derech kitzara of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi that's being manifested itself right here in this Gemara, daf yudam l'beis. And by the way, could be also, this is another reason why in front of the king they would speak b'kitzara. Ki there's one thing speaking b'ktzara, there's another thing trading salads, literally, in order to have this like deep philosophical conversation, right? I mean, should we yes strike, should we not strike? I give you a lettuce, you give me a tomato. I mean, if you read the tomato wrong, there could be a nuclear war. But this is the way they did it, and really, you had to know how to do it. If I cared, if you couldn't do it, yamid kamimalka, you have absolutely no business standing in front of you. Ever wanted to know what goes on in the situation room? Maybe this is a little bit of the rest of the story. But either way, Zokti Gemara, Kol Yoima, every single day, Havishadale Dahava Pricha Bematrata. So, Antoninus used to send gold in a leather sack. V'chiti apumayu. And on top of the gold, he would put chitin, meaning he didn't want the oilam that was sending, just the logistics people, to realize that he's sending gold, so he wanted to cover it. So what he would do is he would put a little bit of chitin on top, so in case somebody would open it up, right, tear open the bag, what's going on over here? Oh, it's just wheat. It's not wheat, it was dahava pricha, right? It's like strips of gold that could almost pass if it's covered together with the wheat. But the bottom line is, this is what he used to send. Amalahu. And Antoninus would tell his people, "I'm tuye chiti the Rebbe. Take this chiti and bring it to Rebbe." Amalei Rebbe. So Rebbe told him, "Leit srichna." He said, "I don't need your wheat. Thanks, but no thanks. Isli tuva. I have plenty of my own wheat. This is not something that I need." Amar. So Antoninus told him. He says, "Rebbe, be smart. Lahavu lemanda basroch. Leave it for your children. Di yahava lebasroi. And for the children of your children." And the reason is, the asu basroch, u the asu minayu nefek alayu. Because what's going to happen is that even though right now we're in good relations, but in future generations, I can't promise how things are going to be. Meaning right now we control everything. We control the House, we control the Senate, we're in the White House. We have total control. But do you know what's going to be next time there's elections? I can't promise you. So just take this money right now, because if at some point, all of a sudden, you're going to have some socialist regime that's going to start taxing you like this, and you won't have to come out of pocket, you're going to have what this is. Says the Gemara, Havali Ahina Karta, there was a tunnel, they used to go from the house of Antoninus to the house of Rebbe. And every single day, Antoninus would go meet with Rebbe. But he didn't want anyone to know what was going on. So he would bring two avodim. because obviously as the kenig, so you have to have a gabel. See, he came with two avodim. Chad katli abavo, the bay Rebbe. One of them he would kill when he came to the doorstep of Rebbe. Again, meaning I could tell you, but I'll have to kill you, right? This is really happening right now. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to kill you. So he basically tells him, listen, I'm meeting with Rebbe right now, and then, boom, he kills him. Okay. V'chad, the other one, he kept alive, and the reason is because he wanted him to take him back home. Kadli above the base, when he came back home. Amalei, be'idna dasino. Antoninus told Rebbe, I'm telling you, when I come to you, le'nishkach gever kamach. I don't want anyone to be there. I don't trust anybody. Yom v'chad, one day, ashkechei l'r b'chanin b'archam adev yosef, yisro b'chanin b'archam, who was sitting there, Omar. So he turns to Rebbe, he says, le'amino l'cha be'idna dasino, le'nishkach gever kamach. Didn't I warn you? I told you that when I come, I don't want anyone there. So he told him, this person laced in Baranish. He's not a person. Then what is he? He said he's a malach. Amaleis, Antoninus wanted to see if he was really a malach. So he turns to Rav Chanina Bar Chama and he tells him, Eimaleila hu abdu the gani above the kam. You walk outside the house, you're going to see somebody's like, right, he's slumped over. He's taking a little bit of it. He's in a very deep sleep. Very, very deep sleep. Why don't you go over to him and try to tap him? Velesi, wake him up. What was Antoninus thinking? He's thinking that if he's a person, obviously he's not going to be able to wake him up. But if he's a malach, let's see if it's true. As Reb Chanina Bar Chama, went, Ashkechei David Kotel. He saw that this person wasn't sleeping, he was dead. Omar, he said, Hei Chiyavit, what do I tell Antoninus? He Ezel Ve'emalei De Kotel. If I tell him he's dead, Emeshivan Ala Klal. We know the rule is you never give bad news. Ashkechei Ve'ezel, should I leave him there and make believe this never happened? Just run as fast as I can and as far as I can. Come Zalzul Nobe Malchusa. That's not a good idea. But Yerachmi Aleh, said a capital tillim and va'achye, and he came alive, v'shadre, and he sent him. So when the person walked in, Omar, Antoninus turned to Rebbe and he says, Yodana, I realize that zuti de ispachu, that even the smaller of your talmidim, mechayim mesim, have the ability to mechayim mesim, miyu, but I'm asking you in the future, be'idno dasino, that when I come, please, le'nishkach inish kamach, I don't want anyone to be there. By the way, had Reb Chanina Bar Chama in a minute be mechayim mesim, so the Maromakim, we're not going to talk about this now, is the Rechayim HaKadosh in Parshas Beshalach, who says how when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he made a tenai with Maaseh Bereishis. And the tenai was that you are going to function, but at the same time, you're going to have to answer to Talmidei Chachamim. The Lashon of the Rechayim is, Ulazeh, called Tzadik V'Tzadik, Sheyamid Acher Kabbalah Satoira. Any Tzadik that gets up after Kabbalah Satoira, Yavi B'Yodei Shtar Choyv. If he has the Torah in him, he's holding on to a shtar choyv. That's the lashon of the Arachayim. Look, koyfei lecholik lefanov, and he threw that shtar choyv. Meaning, I have a shtar. Shtar chaviyotcha, my boy. I have the shtar, and my shtar that I have, which is that? That's the Torah. I can get you to do whatever it is. Fitimso shekashalei rotzol lecholik to Pinchas Ben Yair. Remember when the Yam didn't want to spin for a Pinchas Ben Yair? Rotzol lekaintzoy upachar Yam imenu. You know why? Because as the loyva, as the malva, and that's the koyach. The Torah blibes the shtar chayv, and he says that's why you find it. He says the only reason Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time splitting the sea, it was before Kabbalah Satayra. He said once the Yidden were mekabel the Torah, this was easy because any person that had Shlita in the Torah. That's mamish the lashon of the Gemara. The zuti, even the zuti, the ispachu mechayim meisim. What do you mean? Think about all this. It's because once you have the Torah, these things are actually not so hard. Says the Gemara. So again, we return to our story, which is Antoninus and Rebbe. So when Rebbe wanted to call Yoyma every day, have a mishamish to Rebbe. Every single day, Antoninus would serve Rebbe. Machale, he would give him food. Mashkile, he would give him to drink. Kaviboy, Rebbe Mesek Lepuria, when he wanted to come to his bed, have a gochen kamipuria. So Antoninus bowed down for him, right? He like bent down. He says, you know, come, jump on my back. Amale, saki lavoy, go on top of me. Lepuria, it's like this, he'd be able to get to your bed. Amar, so Rebbe said, lav oyre charilus azuli b'machusikulei hai. He said, nah, you want to make me a coffee, mamela, but this is already, you're a melech, I can't do this. Omar, so Antoninus said, Mi yisimeni matzatachtech loylam abo. Now, I wish you would do this, because if I'm able to serve you now, then I'll be zoicha to maybe do this for you in loylam abo as well. Now, what does this have to do with anything? Because I'm going to serve you now, be zoicha to serve you in loylam abo. So the obvious tuchdal to this is the Gemara Ksubas Daf Kuf Gimel Amar Aleph, which ironically is also talking about Rebbe. B'shas p'ti rosei shal Rebbe. So one of the things that Rebbe said was, Yosef chefani. and Shimon Ephrosi, Heim Shimshuni Bechayai, Veheim Yeshamshuni Bemoisi. They took care of me while I was alive, and they'll be Znoicha to take care of me. So Antoninus, he's a Shtikal Talmud of Rebbe, he understood this. And as a result, he says, I want to be like Yosef Chefoni. I want to have a little bit of a Shaychus to this. So he tries doing this. The less obvious Sushtal to this is the Hilge Chsam Sofer, and this is in Parshas Behar, it's in Chsam Sofer Ala Torah, on the Pasuk, Lo'ilu Mehem Tavoidu. And then it says, Ubachechem Bnei Yisrael, V'chulu Lo Yisirdu Ben Befarach. And the Hilge Chsam Sofer says, that the Gemara says above and see, I'm Gimel Amad Beis, that we teach this pasuk a little bit out of order as well. There are times that even Achechem Bnei Yisrael, if a Yitzna Noya Keshura, could be there's an Indian of La'ilam Mehem Tavoidu. But said the Chsam Sofer that Yeshloim Al Derech Remes, that the Gemara says that anything that an Eved does for his Rebbe, a Talmud has to do for his Rebbe as well. Right? What's a Talmud supposed to do for his Rebbe? Kol Masha Ha'Eved Oysel Rabbi, Talmud Oysel Rabbi, Ksubis Sadik Vavam. Aleph. So said the Chsam Sofer, Lo Oilom Behem Tavoidu Ubachechem Bnei Yisrael, that someone that has the schus to be Meshamish and Adam Gadol on this world, he'll be Zoichad al Lo Oilom, even an Oilom Haba Behem Tavoidu. He said, that's the Taich, Lo Oilom Behem Tavoidu Ubachechem Bnei Yisrael. That even by Bnei Yisrael, there's an Indian of Lo Oilom Behem Tavoidu. That if someone is going to serve a Rebbe, the Rebbe's Gab is going to be his Gab in the next world as well. La'ulam behem tavoidu, literally be able to hold on to his coattails. La'ulam behem tavoidu b'achek b'nei Yisrael. What does that have to do with b'nei Yisrael? No, it's la'ulam behem tavoidu b'achek b'nei Yisrael. There's a lav of la'isir d'bay b'farach. That's the Gemara above Mitziah and Gimel Amid Beis. La'ulam behem tavoidu b'achek b'nei Yisrael. But what does that have to do with a Talmud? It's talking about an Eved. That's the Gemara Ksuba Sadik Vavam and Aleph. Kol Nacho Eved Oysel Rabbi, Talmud Oysel Rabbi. And Zok Tichsam Soifer, Remez Ledover, Ksuba Skuf Gimel Amid Aleph. Sh'Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Amar Sh'Talmidov, Sh'Shemshu B'chaya, Yishamshu B'moysa Lo'ilam Haba, V'ulai Yeshloi Mar Oid Remez Ledover. It's like the Zohar Daf Yud Amid Beis. Either way, after this, Antoninus told Rebbe, he says, tell me, Amalei, Asin El Amad Asi, am I going to go to Oilam Haba? Amalei, in. He said, yeah, Amalei. He said, I was hoping that was the answer, but I'm a little worried, because I know there's a pasuk in Ovadia, which talks all about Edom, that says, V'haksev, lo yeh sar l'beis Yosef, right? There's going to be no sar l'beis Esav. A beis Esav is going to be completely wiped out, meaning they're not going to be zoichet to Oilam Haba. He told them back, if it's only if they're Oysa Maisa Esav, but they're not Oysa Maisa Esav, then it's fine. Tainami Yochia Brysel, yes, sorry, the base Esav, Yochalakal, it would apply to any member of Esav, Talmud Loimel, the base Esav, which means, but Oysa Maisa Esav, that's the word base Esav. Not Esav. It doesn't mean because your genealogy says you trace yourself from Esav. It's if you have a sheiches to the base Esav, the house of Esav, the way that they used to conduct themselves. Amalei, but he followed up with another question. Vaksiv, the pasuk says, Shama Edoim Milochev V'chol Nesiyah. Now, Shama, Vir, is referring to Gehenna. So over there is Edoim. Over there is the kings of Edoim. All the Nesiyim of Edoim. So he said, I'm in trouble. I'm a king of Edoim, right? Amalei, so he says, no, notice the diuk. It says, Milochev V'chol Nesiyah. But Milochev doesn't say kol, right? So Milochev V'loi kol Milochev. Kol Nesiyah, that's true. But V'loi kol Sarev. Tanya Nami Yochia Brais, Milochev. V'loi kol melochea, kol nesiyah, v'loi kol sarev. Melochea, v'loi kol melochea, says the Braiso, is Prat Antoninus ben Asvirus. He's an example of a melech of Esav that has a chelek in Olam Haba. Unbelievable. Kol nesiyah, v'loi kol sarev. What's an example of a sar? Not a nasi, but a sar. Right? You have to understand these rankings a little bit better. You have to be holding in the rank and file of the ancient Romans. But the bottom line is, Nesiyim not Sorim, yeah? Who is an example of a sad that has a chelik in Olam Haba? Prat leKetia Bar Shalom. An example of this would be Ketia Bar Shalom. Says the Gemara Ketia Bar Shalom Mahi. Who is this Ketia Bar Shalom? And the Gemara is going to tell one of the more famous stories in Shas. Dahu Kesar. There was a Kesar, Roman Kesar. Davi son of the Yudai, he hated the Jews. Amalahu. L'chashivi d'machusa. See, he told his advisors, Misha aluay nima baragla. I'm curious. If someone has a nima, someone has something in his foot, should he cut off his foot and live? Or should he leave it there and end up being bitzar, or maybe even end up dying? So they told him, what's the question? Nobody wants to cut off their leg. Aber, if this is the situation that he finds himself in, without a question, the right thing to do is yikta enevi yichya. Amaluhu ketir bar shalom. So ketir bar shalom understood where this was all going. Meaning, what was this nima biragloi that the case of Raimi was worried about? It was the Jews. And the Jews were really, really upsetting him. So he felt that he has two choices. One is just knock out the Jews, which would come at a very high cost, but at the same time, the yichya. Otherwise, it's Yani Chena V'Yitzta. So when Ketir B'Hashalom understood this, he turns to him and he tells the Chevri, he says, it's a mistake. Chada number one, Dola Yachlis Lahu. Lekulu, you're never going to be able to do it. You think you're going to knock out all the Jews? You're not the first Chochem that came up with this idea. And I'm telling you, it looks good on a business plan in a PowerPoint presentation, but it doesn't work itself out. And I'm going to tell you why, Dechsev. Because it's a pasuk. The Navi Zechariah said, he said, Ki ka'arba ruchais ha-shamayim peirasti eschem no'um Hashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I spread you out like the four corners of the world. My kamar, what does David say? Ilema divartun bedalid ruchais. Didn't he mean to say that the Jews are spread out in the four corners of the world? Hay ke'arba ruchais. And why do you say ke'arba? What should he have said? Hello, what he meant to say was, just like you can't have a world without Ruchais, so too you can't have a world without the Jews. So he told him, number one, to knock them all out is never going to happen. He said, they're going to call you Malchus HaKeti. If you're going to do this, they're going to call you a Gahakta Malchus. Don't do this. So the Kesar heard what he said, and he told him, "Mei Meshapakam, you're saying very good. Miu, but here's the rule: Called the Zachi Malcha Shadulei the Kamunya Chalila. Any person that is able to best the king in some sort of intellectual debate, he gets thrown into the Kamunya Chalila. What is this exactly? Rashi says, Bias Mole Offer. That's what it is. You get thrown into a bias mali offer, and the person ends up dying over there. Either way, this is the punishment that they are going to give him now. Says the Gemara, Kadav Nak Dem Levazlin, as they were taken in. So Amr Leah, he matronisa. There was a matronisa, some prominent governess of Rome. She said, Vai le ilfa the azablay mixa. Woe to a ship that is bringing a lot of schayra, but doesn't have the money to pay the tariffs, to pay the tolls that you have to pay. And this person, Ketir B'Hashalom, understood the Nimshal. The Nimshal was, he just did something incredible. And based on that, he could be zoicha to a chelik in Olam Haba. The problem is, you have to pay a tariff. And the tariff is you need to have Prismila. Without Prismila, you can't enter Olam Haba. And this is what she said. So when this person, Ketir B'Hashalom, realized that he's not going to be able to make it to Olam Haba because he doesn't have Prismila, nafal al-reshid ur-lisei, he fell on his own arlo, kata, and he cut it off. Amar, and he said, Ketir B'Hashalom, Yehovis michsi chalfis v'avris. I just got my tariffs, I'm going to be able to pass. Says the Gemara, Kika Shadule, as they were throwing him into this Kamunya Chalila. Amar, he said, Kol Nichsoy the Rabbi Kiva V'chaver. I want all my Nechasim to go to Rabbi Akiva and his friends. Yes, Rabbi Kiva V'darash. So now Rabbi Kiva and all his friends have to divide all this money. So the Gemara says, as an aside, right, this is a digression, as an aside, Rabbi Kiva got up and he made a drasha. It says, regarding the Lechem Aponim, V'hayu L'Harin U'Lavanov, that it goes to Harin U'Lavanov. And the way we darshan is, Mechza L'Harin, half of it goes to Harin, U'Mechza L'Vanov. And the other half goes to Vanov. Meaning the way we teach Aharon and Vanov is not that Aharon divides it equally, half to Aharon, half Levanov. So too, all the money goes to half Rabbi Akiva and half to everybody else. We know Rabbi Akiva was a Begvir. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva came Begvir from six different places. This is one of the six places. But either way, says the Gemara, as a postscript to this, Yatzis Abaskal Amra. Abaskal came out and said, Ketir B'Hashalom is going to merit a portion in the world to come. Because of what he did, in truth, he did two things. Right, number one, he saved the Jews. Number two, he gave his money to Rabbi Akiva. But either way, a Paschal came out and said, Ketir B'Hashalom Mezumen L'Chayi Olam Haba. And the Gemara says, Rebbe heard the Baskel. And when Rebbe heard it, Bacha Rebbe, V'Amar, he said, Yesh Koyna Olamai B'Sha'achas, V'Yesh Koyna Olamai B'Kamashonim. But either way, he, Ketir B'Hashalom, is what the Braisa meant when it said, Kol Nisiyel won't merit a portion in the world to come, Kol Nisiyel, but at the same time, not Kol Sorel. So, Milochev, like Kol Milochev, who gets that favorable shout out? That is Antoninus. When it says Kol Nisiyev, Eloi Kol Sorel, who gets that favorable shout out? That's Ketir B'Hashalom. Says the Gemara as a postscript to this: Antoninus Shamshe LeRabbi. Antoninus served Rabbi. Adarkon Shamshe LeRav. Adarkon he served Rav. Who's Adarkon? So the last Rashi says Sar Sheba Uvde Keichavim Hoya. Kishochav Antoninus. When Antoninus left the world, Amar Rabbi. Rabbi said, Nisparda Chavila, Kishochev Adarkon, when Adarkon died, Amar Rav, Rav said, Nisparda Chavila, what's the connection? Nisparda Chavila, Avosenu Shenikshara Nefesh Benefesh. We had this increase, you did Nafshi on the highest level. Nisparda Chavila, that was the feeling that Rebbe had when Antoninus died. This is the feeling that Rav had when Adarkon died. Not for now, but we talked over the years about the connection between Rav and Rebbe, right? Rav was a Talmud of Rebbe. First of all, Rebbe is known as Rebbe, and Rav is known as Rav. So right off the bat, you see a tremendous connection. Not just that, the Rambam says in two places, Amru al Rav Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Shloi Sachsich Batein L'Kol Yomav, he never went Dalet Amis without tefillin. We once spoke at a rabbite from Hagoyen, Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sofer Shlita, who said that it's not just a punk that the Rambam said Amru al-Rav Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh. It's because if you go through those in Yonim, you find them by Rav and you find them by Rebbe. And really, we spoke about the Asar Mil, the Chassidus of Rav, which have a Shaykhist story. But this is like another interesting one where there's a connection between Rav and Rebbe. Rebbe has this friend who's a big Sar Sheba Ovdei Kechavim. His name is Antoninus. Rav, like the Rebbe, he has the same exact thing. His name is not nearly as well known, is Adarkun. Rebbe said Nespar de Chavila. Rav said Nespar de Chavila. Also, another thing, we talk a lot about Rav's friend, Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas. Rav has a lot of best friends. So he has one best friend, Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas, who's a Yid. He has another best friend whose name is Adarkun, who's very much an Ovid Kechavim. Either way, we can talk about this Gemara and these Gemaras that we just learned now for a very long time. Valzen Amar, I am related raid bites. But just to end with one Dover Nifla, Im Beis Medrash Balei Chiddush, and that is, so the Gemara just told a story about Ketiyah Bar Shalom. And Ketiyah Bar Shalom is one of the Sorim of Roimi. He's one of the Sorim of Roimi. And he saved the Jews with an incredible Mesiras Nefesh. He literally gave up his life to save the Jews. There was going to be this terrible, terrible gzeira, and he bested all the chachamim in Roimi, which ultimately was a tremendous hatzalah for the Yidden, but it came at the expense of him being thrown into this infamous kamunya chalila. We've heard of the gladiators. The kamunya chalila apparently was me'inyan le'inyan ba'isay inyan. And this is the end of Ketiyah Bar Shalom. And as his soul departed from this world, Rebbe heard a baskel that said, Ketiyah Bar Shalom mezumin l'chayo olam haba. And when he heard this baskel, he began to cry. He said, Yesh koina olamai b'sha'achas v'yesh koina olamai b'kamashanim. Everybody knows this is not the only place in Shas where there was such a baskel that came out and said about a certain person who you would have not thought would merit a portion in the world to come, Yesh koina, that this person is mezumin l'chayo olam haba, and that Rebbe responded that Yesh koina olamai b'sha'achas v'yesh koina olamai b'kamashanim. Perhaps the best one that's known the most is a Gemara coming up in a week. A Gemara Daf Yizayin Amad Aleph. The Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya, who was ba'al kol zaynish ba'olam. And at the very, very end of his life, he had this terrible chalisha sadas. He realized how he wasted his life, and he cried, he cried, he cried until his soul left the world. And when it left the world, there was a baskel again that said that Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya is mezumah l'chayo olam haba. And when Rebbe heard the baskel again, he cried. He said, Yesh koina olamei b'sha'achas v'yesh koina olamei b'kam mashanim. And there's so much Torah that was said over the years. What does this mean? Yesh koinoi lomei b'sha'achas. And not just that, what was Rebbe's b'chia? I mean, at first glance, it sounds like Rebbe's almost like a little disappointed. Wow, I didn't realize you could be a koinoi lomei b'sha'achas. Like, that's the b'chia. Not b'chia shal tzar. It's hard to believe that. So what does it mean? Yesh koinoi? How is it even possible? Tadvarim atikin. But I'll tell you a davar chadash. Reb Tzadik HaKoyen, in Pri Tzadik, and if you want to look it up, it's in Parshas Nitzavim. And if you have the old pre-tzaddiks, it's page 155. It's the middle of Ois Zion, Dibra Maschel Vehine. Says Rav Tzadik HaKoyen, I have a different problem with this Gemara. Everyone knows this Gemara, Vekama Komas in the Shtabru. But I'll tell you what I don't understand. In order for a person to merit a portion of the world to come, you have to do mitzvahs. You're going to come to Olam Haba, and now what? What did you do? What did you do? You didn't do anything. Meaning what are you going to have once you enter Olam Haba? Rav Tzadik says it's poshut that when a yid comes to Olam Haba, so he comes with his rechush gadol. He comes with his mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim. See, he did one mitzvah that got him into Olam Haba. It's a poshut you learned. It was that one mitzvah. That's what you have. But this is what Rav Tzadik is struggling with over here. He says he didn't do any mitzvahs. He didn't do any ma'isim tovim. Vos far Olam Haba does. Says Rav Tzadik that we know that if a person does tshuva, tshuva meyiris, zdoinis nasin shkogis. If a person does tshuva me'ahava, zdoinis nasin shkuyos. He said when Ketiyah Bar Shalom did tshuva at the last second of his life, it was tshuva me'ahava. He did a tshuva b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, says Rav Tzadik. Where Rabbi Elazar ben
Dodaya cried and he cried and he cried. He said he reached such a madrega at that moment of tshuva that it was tshuva me'ahava. It was doinus nasin schuyos. And because it was doinus nasin schuyos, that was his olam haba. His olam haba was every single aveira that he did. Because all those aveiras were nepach. And all those aveiras became mitzvahs. Das is gemeins an olam haba. He didn't just walk into an olam haba with one mitzvah. He walked in with a lifetime achievement of mitzvahs. But he never did a mitzvah, says Rav Tzadik. It's true. Never did a mitzvah. The last second of his life, he did some nice things. He never did a mitzvah, but he did tshuva me'ahava. And tshuva me'ahava is doinus nasin schuyas. And in 1 second, the whole thing was able to turn around. The truth is, if you look at the Netziv in his Sefer Maris Ayin on this Gemara right here, he kamat says exactly what Rav Tzadik says. He says it in a slightly different nusach, but if you take a look there, the Mamish is saying the same exact thing. He says that this inyan of Yesh Koino Ilami B'Sha'achas, it's related to Tshuva Me'ahavas Doinis Nasas Chuyos. And that's how he became a Ben Olam Haba. It was through his Tshuva. Everything that he did was all of a sudden mitzvahs. And he says one nice knetch. He says, V'kosfu ha-mechfarshim, that B'makim Shvali Tshuva Oimdim Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Yechaylam Lamed. He says, why? He says, the Bali Tshuva Adife De Tzadikim. Because Tzadikim is Yesh Lehem Reish Mem Ches Mitzvah Saseh. Ubali tshuva yeshlam oid shin samechem mitzvah saseh. The averis nachshavis mitzvah. This is what the Chidah says, a Marasayin writer on this Gemara. He says, a yid, you come, you're going to get olam haba for your mitzvahs. Right? You're going to get olam haba for your mitzvahs. But we always say, aseiz doi chalois saseh, why? So the Charedim says that the reason, everyone knows the Ramban and the more conventional pshatim, but the chakav and maramakim is the Charedim. Where the Charedim says, because schar mitzvah is the olam haba, and oinish of an avera is gehenim. Gehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh. It comes with an expiration. But Schar Mitzvah, for all the mitzvahs that you do, that's Netzach Nitzachim. So the Schar of a mitzvah is much greater than the Oynash of an Aveir. That's why Asnez Deichalois say, for every mitzvah that you do, you're going to get Schar. But it's 248 mitzvahs. The Baal Tshuva, all this Doinus Anasus Chuyos, he doesn't have 248 mitzvahs. He has 248 plus 365. He has 613 mitzvahs. That's why B'makim Shevali Tshuvim Oymdim Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Yechaylam Lamay, says Rab Tzadik, and really it's Mavur in the Chidah. That's the side of Yesh Koinoi Lamay B'Sha'achas. Where's his Oilam? It's very nice, he got it to Oilam Ava. Abba, just to appreciate it a little bit better. Rebbe's crying, right? Why is Rebbe crying? Yesh Koinoi Lamay B'Sha'achas, the Yesh Koinoi Lamay with a whole life. What Shaykhis? He's coming with a lifetime of mitzvahs. He's coming with one mitzvah. It's not true. Ekumt Eichit mit Alice. That's the Oimik in the Bacher Rebbe. The Oimik in the Bacher Rebbe is that you could be a Koinoi Lamay B'Sha'achas, but not one mitzvah. A Sha'achas digas schos to have an Oilam Haba. It's a lifetime of schos. He lived 100 years and he lived 100 years. He lived 100 years and he did mitzvahs and Isim Toivim. He lived 100 years, he was a Baal Aveiro. But at the end of his life, he did tshuva me'ahavas, doinois, nasis, chuyois. He ends up getting the same olam haba like the other. In fact, if the tshuva is done in the right way, there's a bechina of b'makim shabali tshuvim oimdim ein tzadikim gemurim yechaylam lamoid. Again, it's tremendous chizik from Rav Tzadik. All Rav Tzadik's svarim are straight up chizik, but you see how real this inyan was by the great tzadikim of the free digadiris. It's not a joke. Tshuva works. Tshuva me'ahava is doinus nasa schuyos. That's the oimik of understanding this inyan of yesh koina oilamoy b'sha'achas.